The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to hour two of the show. Astros take 2 out of 3 for the Mets. Had a day off yesterday. And I guess if you are an Astro and a Cougs fan, wasn't bad. You didn't have to divert your focus from one or the other yesterday. The Cougs had the early game for the two regional finals on CBS, and they got the job done to make it to the Final Four. But the Astros with the day off, and the weekend of pitching was pretty good. Like the bullpen, particularly your guys who you won 8-9, you wouldn't say they were perfect. Going back to the first game of the season when they're walking guys and making you nervous because haters bringing up Juan Soto, chance for Juan Soto to do something to give the Mets the lead. 3 walks in that first outing by Brian Abreu. And then their second appearances, I mean, Hader much better than he was in that first one. More economical with his pitches. But those guys have, at least early on, not particularly pitch like guys you feel all that comfortable with closing out games. But because it's baseball, we throw in the caveats of it's early and you just hope it was a shaky start for both. And Abreu was better, much better in his second outing. So you just hope, hey, getting the rust off, you'll be fine going forward. The bats, you feel the same way. Have to have that same type of conversation because other than Altuve, he's the only guy along with Pena and Myers, who have more than 2 hits on the season. He has 5. He's been their best hitter so far, at least when it comes to putting the ball in places the opponent is not, which speaks to Christian Walker, who's hit the ball very hard. You hear about and you read the exit velo numbers. You're like, man, he's unlucky. You know what they say, Sean? Hit him where they ain't. Isn't that an old baseball slogan?
Yeah.
Hit him where they ain't. Christian Walker's not doing that right now. He's hitting it hard, but right at people, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are not a lot. There's a couple people on Astros Twitter that are already like, "Would we pay all this money?"
I saw that.
I do enjoy it just because it gets the real baseball heads. And by the
really
way,
mad.
The real baseball heads in this situation are right. Like, you'd rather just be hitting it well, and eventually, like, you'll just hit it again where they ain't. But it also is very funny to rattle him up after 3 games.
Yeah.
It's in general to be like 3 games in, this guy's a bum. Get him off my team after he missed half of spring training. That is already reactionary, but also to do it when you're kind of wrong about it is even funnier. So I like going like
if they're working from a place of where you would be just to piss off someone whose whole at least online personality is talking baseball. If they're doing it just specifically to get under them, I welcome it.
It's a good way to get under someone's skin.
Yeah, baseball people hate
Yeah. It's a long season, Dell. Like
I've heard. I've been like, told.
What are we supposed to do if we can't after the first series where, hey, listen, it goes for the most part by the book. You'd like a little bit more offense, but you know, still won 2 out of 3 against a team that was in the NLCS last year.
You added
Juan Soto.
You beat what was supposed to be a good baseball team. You took 2 out of 3. Your pitching was really, really good throughout the series.
So yeah, I'm gonna make fun of the only addition that really hasn't had like a moment. I guess maybe Paredes too. Hasn't had like a, hey, I see it with this guy, because Cam Smith came in his first game, was making stuff happen. Everyone's excited about Cam Smith, but to pick on Christian Walker, just be like, thought he was different than Abreu.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it to me.
Yeah, in fact, Abreu, I miss him. Yeah. Christian Walker's made me miss Abreu.
Yeah, he got hits.
Exactly. Christian Walker.
Exit Velo.
He'll be fine.
Exit Velo doesn't score runs, Del.
Exactly.
There's not a column on the stat sheet where it says exit velo.
When we're talking about Hall of Fame stats, they don't write hit the ball 110 miles per hour 5 times.
Yeah. Right now.
In his first 12 at bats.
Tell me Ichiro's exit velo. You don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't matter because the hits got down. He hit them where they ate. Baseball people, if you're out there, don't come to this show unless you want to get pissed off by what we're saying.
Like, sometimes you will try to have a serious conversation. This one is just, like, so ridiculous that it, like, there's no need to have the serious conversation.
Yes, I would love for more bats besides Altuve to have gotten going this series, but I'm not concerned at all.
Exactly, because I'm confident about the top 5 guys on this lineup. Like, there's not even, like, Paredes and Yiner, like, the kind of, you know, the guys that aren't Altuve and Yordan, like the others, like I feel good about those guys. Even Peña, like you have to be at least encouraged. Now, I am not the biggest spring training guy or preseason guy, but Peña had a good spring training and followed it up by hitting a home run in, the third game of the season. That is something, like there's reason for optimism there. It's just no one else has right now.
Did he peak too soon, Sean?
Did he peaked in March?
Yes. Yes. Did he peak?
He's like Jalen in March? Jeremy in March?
Mr. March for Jeremy Peña?
January, February Peña?
I think I'm right along with you. This lineup will be fine. There's more. I'm not worried. I think my concerns are, once you get past these top three, and we'll hear from Spencer Arrighetti, he talked to John Smoltz after his performance, will your 4 and 5 guys be competent? Ronel Blanco, we hope. He had a really good start to a season last year, kind of tailed off, and we will see. And he wasn't awful. I mean, he had a little stretch in the summer where he wasn't great, and then he was fine after that. But you just hope that he matches at least what he did last year in his second year being really counted on. But what happened this weekend, I think it's all positives for the most part. Your 8-9 guys in the bullpen be a little cleaner, but other than that, I don't have really any concerns about this team.
And like
after 3 games,
they weren't like, I mean, obviously they pitched in both wins, and so they got the like bare minimum,
they got
the
done.
Job done. But yeah, I do agree that that's more something just to like
monitor.
Yeah, something to monitor. They didn't pass the first quiz with flying colors. But there's a lot of time to get that GPA back up.
Feels like the teacher is like, yeah, you're fine.
Had high expectations for these students.
Yes.
Josh Hader and Brian Abreu. Again, first quiz didn't love, C-. Didn't love what I saw. But, long way to go.
But there's a history of pitching pretty well. Well, not Hader in a Nationals uniform so much. But there's a history of being really good. So not a giant concern. And think about it. In the Astros' first 15 games of the season last year, they won 4. Already had way ahead of schedule.
Halfway there.
Didn't win a game in their first series last year.
No, they got
swept by the Yankees.
Yeah. For cheating.
Well, the Yankees said, "Hey, we love hitting dingers, so we're gonna continue to find ways to hit dingers." So
they just got those plastic inflatable bats. Yeah. That's what they're using.
The torpedo bats, as they're being called.
Yeah.
Someone tried to keep track of who has them and who doesn't in the home runs. Right now, 9 of the 15 home runs have been hit by guys who have a torpedo bat.
And like the other three home runs have been Aaron Judge, who's not using it.
He's not using it. He goes, I have a pretty good track record, so I'm not going to change.
Which is also very funny. Like, he's like, I don't need it, dude. Yeah. I don't.
Maybe Jazz Chisholm needs it.
You know, to quote the great Jeff Bagwell, check the back of my baseball card, dude. Like, I can hit these things with anything.
Yeah, I can square up a baseball fine.
Yeah. These Anthony other guys, Volpe, on the other hand.
Get him all the help he needs.
No. Can he stand closer? Can you throw it underhand to him? I don't know. But the bats with the Yankees is such a classic like baseball storyline of like it'll be the biggest news for like 2 weeks in national baseball coverage. And then either everyone will start using it or it'll quickly be outlawed like Spider Tack was in the middle of the season. And then we kind of forget about it.
Yeah, at this point, the bats are legal. We will see if just because they're funny shaped and the Yankees have taken advantage of it, will they change them? Will MLB be more reactive to this bat than the NFL is to the tush push? Is it too much? Hey, one team is using it. They're doing a great job. Should it be illegal since the bats are created within the rules? I would say Yankees hate aside and all the stuff that comes with us being in the city. Look, if it is within the rules, which it is, and baseball deemed it fair when they initially were shown that these were the bats that were going to be used. By the way, this isn't the first time these bats have been used. I think Cody Bellinger mentioned that he tried them last year, maybe in spring training or at least in a regular season game. Not exactly sure, but he was aware of these bats and tried it before. So Major League Baseball has been aware of this for a while. It's just that the Yankees lost their minds over the weekend with these bats. So
yeah, that's the other thing is that they hit, what'd you say?
Nine of the 15 home runs, according to like just not an official count, but people who've been trying to track the bats say 9 of the 15 home runs.
But just overall in their first series, they hit 15 home runs.
Yes.
So that just right away is eye-catching. And then you throw on that they are using these bats. It you know, just fuel for the fire. But like you said, these things are legal under the rules. Now, if MLB decides actually they're not legal anymore, or that these bats are different than what the rule protects, whatever, they can come to that decision. But yeah, anyone freaking out about this, it's probably 75% because it's the Yankees. Just like if the Astros did it, it would be 75% of the outrage would be because the Astros are doing it, and we would be sitting here defending it. We'd be defending the wall if it was the Astros hit 15 home runs in the first three games with these wiffle ball bats. I don't know. It's one of those baseball things, like the sticky stuff and all this, even like the sign stealing. Like, it's just there's always some like rule that's being broken, but not really broken, but they're taking it to the furthest extent. And so MLB steps in. This just always happens. By June, we won't even think about these things.
Yeah.
Either because everyone uses it or no one does.
Yeah, maybe. And, there's a real possibility because they will do things like this where there'll be some type of emergency. I don't want to call it an injunction, but some way where they say, all right, we haven't done enough research on these
baseballs.
Bats.
They do it with the
baseballs. They change the baseballs in the middle of the year. So they will say, hey, we didn't really ascertain how much of an advantage these would provide.
Yeah, or maybe they're doing it like differently. Like there's some different way that they're making these torpedo bats that that isn't protected by MLB rules. Who knows?
Either way.
They can come up with a reason.
Enough complaining. Let's have another series where they hit 9 home runs in a game, and then we will have a conversation about it.
Or are these bats like, steroids that you can hold, or does Nestor Cortez just stink? Who knows?
Nestor Cortez is like, there's steroids you can hold. There's steroids you can hold.
Damn it.
I know what he's going to say.
Nestor Cortez hates me because I'm the only one probably outside New York that's like, what if this guy just sucks?
What if he just – it's terrible. How about that?
Remember the guy whose the last pitch he threw last season was a walk-off home run to Freddie Freeman? Yeah, what if he continued giving up home runs?
Nestor, what do you say? The bats.
So the bats.
It's the bats.
Throw them in jail.
Yes.
Throw the bats in jail. Throw Volpe. Throw Chisholm in jail.
All of them. Not Judge, because he's
Judge, you're cool.
He's an honorable masher. He just used the regular-ass bat to bash my head in. Someone asked on Twitter about the podcast. We had an issue with our audio, so if you're looking for the John and Lance podcast, the first hour, it may take a little bit or may not show up at all. I don't have real word on that, but we had an issue over the weekend with how we record audio, and it didn't get fixed till later, if it's fixed at all. So there may be an issue with our podcast.
Hour one is the lost tapes?
Yes. Oh, you know what you can do? If we don't get that up because we just the audio's lost, you can always listen to, well, the entire day on ESPN Houston.
Yeah, YouTube. You can just rewind on YouTube all the way. And since it's hour one, just go back to
the very beginning,
wait 5 minutes, and then it'll pop up.
Yeah, so if you missed out on hour one and maybe we can't get that accessible to you, like Sean said, rewind. In fact, maybe if you listen to it at the end of the day, you can just click play and it'll start.
Yeah.
If you start it after like
after
6.
After the stream ends. But that, you know, you'd have to wait until 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but if you are desperate for the first hour, you can go to ESPN Houston YouTube right now and take it back to the beginning. And hour one for John and Lance is going to be there waiting for you. We'll try to get the podcast up if we can. Just happen to deal with something over the weekend where no one was here and we couldn't get it fixed until today. All right. We will wrap up the segment with that. You want to get in on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. We got certainly plenty to get to. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
All right, every game this season, I'll be crowning a player who dominated from the very first pitch. And this king of the diamond is Spencer Arrighetti. Spencer, first of all, congratulations. What was working? You look like you were in complete command of your mechanics. What was working so well tonight for you?
First of all, thank you. I feel like tonight my game plan coming in was really good. I felt composed. I felt like obviously you acknowledge a deep lineup. You know it's going to be a scrap, and I feel like I took a really good attitude out there with me tonight just to get the team back in the dugout as quick as I can, and I feel like really that kept me locked in. I feel like my off speed was there with me tonight. Four seam was pretty good. Felt like I did a good job mixing, keeping guys off balance, and that's really my game.
And ever since the second half, you have been a different pitcher. Is that part of the key? Was the pitch mix change? What has really taken you to this next level?
I attribute it to a couple of things. Maybe a change in mentality, a shift in my focus, maybe taking it away from the stuff model and kind of just trying to go out there and really compete my nuts off every time I take the ball. I feel like that's really the biggest thing. And then, like you said, just kind of changing the attack plan a little bit, switching the mix up, and just not ever being too predictable.
And then last question, were you as shocked as maybe everybody was when the runner from third went home, when you did everything you had to do and maybe just a click too late? I saw your reaction when he scored the run. You only gave up one hit.
Yeah, I was really frustrated with myself right there, to be completely honest. I mean, you got to tip your cap to an electric player. I mean, he manufactured that run for them, and that was huge. That's a guy who plays with his hair on fire, and I should have known that. Maybe not take my time. I mean, I felt Soto was slow out of the box. I heard Vic say, you got time, and something about that. I mean, maybe I took my foot off the gas, but again, I got to tip my hat. I feel like that took a lot of nerve to make that play, and he pulled it off, so good for him.
Well, Spencer, great job tonight, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Spencer Arrighetti talking to John Smoltz after the Saturday win against the Mets, and he was referencing the Jose Siri play where a comebacker to him. He's probably somewhat casually thinking, checked on the runner enough, casually getting the ball to first, and Jose Siri goes and scores the only run the Mets scored in that one. Each Astros pitcher went at least six innings. Each starting pitcher went at least six innings over the weekend. So you got good performances from them. Hunter Brown, it's hard to say the worst of the three, but he wasn't as good as the other two, but he was good enough to win. Just the Astros bats, which were silent for the most part, were especially silent in his outing, where they only scored the one run. So, what they score a total of, was it six runs in the three games?
Three,
one,
two,
and then one.
And then one.
Yeah, I think that's
no two. No, the game they lost, they scored one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lost 3-1.
Okay. I thought you were going in order.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. They won 3-1, lost 3-1, and then beat the Mets 2-1. So, yeah, 6 runs scored overall. You're going to need good pitching if you're going to win a series with those type of numbers on offense.
I have a question pertaining to Jose Siri. Can we just trade Jake Meyers for Jose Siri?
It'd be fun to have Jose Siri back.
That's
you mean
that's
Jake
what I'm
Meyer?
Saying. That's what I'm
you
saying.
You mean Jake Meyers second in hits on the Astros?
Sell
right
high.
Now?
That's what I'm doing. I'm selling high. That's
hey,
maybe
guys,
they
look
throw
at
in
him.
A prospect. I don't know.
Don't you want a starting center fielder?
Yeah.
Who's hitting? Who's our third best hitter currently?
Wait, that was. Yeah, he's hitting almost 300.
Yeah.
Come on.
Don't you want him?
God, the Astros offense is not.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's once again, baseball people.
His OPS is 570.
We know it's early. We know it's early. I mean, Chaz has only has 2 plate appearances. Or excuse me, at bats, he has 1 hit. But for the guys who've, I mean, no one qualifies really right now.
Yeah,
but
who's played
who's
more
played
than
more
one
and had and has and had several at bats? Jake has is your second best hitter right now.
Yeah, Altuve's hitting like 400.
455 right now. Pena does have the home run, but he's hitting 200. But Meyers, Altuve, and Pena, only Astro hitters with more than 1 hit on the season so far.
But just imagine if we still got Jose Siri out there playing his nuts off. Like, I don't really want to crush Spencer again. At first, I was like, because it did take a beat too long, I felt like. He was a little slow getting it to first. But at the same time, against basically every other player on third base in Major League Baseball, like anyone else on that third baseline, he did his job. It's just Jose Siri is the one guy who's A, fast enough, B, crazy enough to try it, and then obviously pull it off. That, like, you can't really get too mad at Arrigetti for it, but he did look over and then really took his time.
You have to. I think what you said about Siri, the second thing you said about him, is the one that's most important, and Arrigetti kind of acknowledged it. You got to understand the guy's mindset in the base pass.
That guy, yeah, is an insane person.
Like, if you, hey, will this guy try me here? He probably will try me here.
Jose Siri, if the question is, will he try me?
The answer is yes.
100% of the time.
Yes, so be aware of that,
yeah.
and just be careful. Fortunately for him, he, along with the rest of the Astros pitchers, were good on Saturday. So it didn't cost them a win. So an overall good weekend for them. Let's see if the Bats can wake up as they get going again here with against the Giants. They had the day off yesterday, a weird Sunday off. And the Astros are going to have multiple Thursdays off, which is less weird. But the fact that they're consecutive Thursdays off in the month of April is kind of weird. It's an odd start to the schedule.
Yeah, baseball, they normally do put in a lot of off days. The first series. There's teams that had opening day on Thursday and then didn't play Friday. That's just something they build in for potential weather with a lot of these outdoor northern places. Like, it might snow in Minnesota and they have to call a game. I think that if your team plays in a dome and is playing in a dome for the first, 6 games of the season, at least? Right? Because the Giants is a home series, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Probably don't need a day off. There's not a ton that would happen to force a delay or a postponement in that first series. So I don't know really why they do this. It feels like a antiquated way of doing it, considering half your league plays in a dome now. But I think they do it a lot in April, a lot of off days in April for potential, like, postpone and rainouts. It's dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb.
All right, Lance Mapes.
I'm not quite as fired up about it.
No, not at all. You didn't give Rob Manfred the finger on YouTube, or double fingers, excuse me, on YouTube. So we will see if your assault on Rob Manfred's scheduling decisions make a promo.
Well, is it still the old lady and like that old married couple
who do it by hand?
That do it by hand? Or have they moved into the 20th century and have a computer that does
it? You let a computer do it. Now look at you. You got off days on Sundays, and the Astros have like three Thursdays off.
Oh, is this the computer? Are they using Skynet to give the Astros Thursdays off in April?
I don't know, but I'm just going to blame the computer for everything, because this weekend was a big weekend of like AI recreating like pictures of sporting events and other things on Twitter. I'm just going to blame the computers for it.
Yeah, this ChatGPT schedule that the Astros have.
Yeah, you know what? It'll be great. Give the Astros three Thursdays off in a row in April because the computer thinks it's cool. Get the old lady and the old man back at it if they're not at it right now.
They do it the old-fashioned way, by hand.
Yeah. I don't...
And by gut feel.
Look, if we can bring torpedo bats to baseball, we can find a different way than putting those two older people through this again every year. They're even still alive. I don't know if we need an update on them. We don't like to kill off people before they're dead. We just sometimes don't acknowledge that they're dead when they're dead.
We're different than Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Better even.
Yeah. Shout out to Nola Richardson for still being alive.
Like, oh, yeah.
No. The great. You don't have to say late great. Just say
It is tough only saying the great.
And no one says – that's not how it rolls off the tongue.
You always think the late great.
No, just the great. The alive and great.
Nola Richardson. Currently alive and great.
Yes, Nola Richardson. Man who cultivated 40 minutes of hell. All right, we'll go to break here before we murder someone who's not actually dead, or at least presumptively say they're dead before they actually are. We'll get back to more tournament stuff because there are a couple audio clips I want to get to, at least one, and we'll talk about Kevin Willard only because he came up last week and he said some things I didn't believe. Turns out I was right not to believe him. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
Welcome back to the show. We'll hear from Kevin Willard, and really the people at Maryland should have known what he was about to do now that he's taken the Villanova job, because They were on the other end of this just 3 years ago, so we'll have that ready for you. But I did want to give you some numbers for the teams in the Final Four. You don't know who Kim Pom is? At least that stat, it's a stat that measures teams, and almost you can look at it historically and go, this team rated against this college basketball team from 15 years ago, at least as long as the Kim Pom ratings are out, and it'll tell you how good they were. You look at least as far as Kim Pom is concerned, the best team ever, at least since he's been doing it, back to 96-97, was the Duke team in 98-99. They had a plus 43. This year's Duke team is a plus 39.6. This year's Houston team is a plus 36.5. Florida plus 36. And Auburn plus 35.2. So in the history of the Kim Pom ratings, the four Final Four teams are in the top 10, with Duke being the second best team as far as his ratings are concerned.
To 99 Duke.
Yes, to that 99 Duke team. Oof. So you can understand why the Cougs are an underdog, but this is the Final Four.
But they're also one of the greatest teams of all the last 20 years.
Yes, if you go by, it just so happens that the second best team of the last 24, 25 years is their opponent on Saturday night.
Gosh, that's crazy. I mean, the talk before the tournament was that these one seeds are on another level than the rest of the field. And for the most part, again, except for a close game by against Purdue for the Cougs and a close one against Tech and a sort of close one against UConn for Florida, it's been a pretty chill ride for the one seed.
Well, let's not forget about Gonzaga. Duke. The Cougs were up. Now the point is the Cougs have been up big in even the two games that wound up close, but Gonzaga was a three-point shot that never got off from potentially tying the game. Yeah. It just so happens that the Cougs were dominant for big stretches in both that game and the Purdue game. They just let the other team back in it.
That is a good point. Hey, Kelvin Sampson, Sean Mapes here.
Oh, look at that. A PSA from Sean Mapes?
Yeah. Don't try to trick off the last 8 minutes of a game against Duke. You're probably won't.
Well,
go
how
as
big
well.
Of the lead do you think they need before?
If you're telling me beforehand, like, hey, the last 6 minutes they're going to play like idiots.
What if they're up by 17 going into those last 6 minutes? Can they hold on?
I think 17
is a lot of points.
17 is a good number.
Yeah.
17 is a good number. If it was like 12, no, no chance. 15, I still think it's close. Yeah. I mean, that was basically what Florida did. Florida against Texas Tech. They were, what, down 9 with like 90 seconds left? Or no, not with 90. They made it up because they took the lead in regulation.
Knocked down 3. Yeah, it looked like they were dead in the water.
And then they.
Then they
three missed free throw, and
all
like,
of a sudden,
oh, there we go.
All of a sudden, that game got out of Texas Tech's hands really, really quickly.
But hey, you're going to need 40 minutes, not from hell, but just a good 40 minutes against Duke.
Yeah, let's put a complete game together, and let's see how it turns out. You mentioned Florida. Well, one of the teams they beat on the way to the Final Four was Maryland. They destroyed Maryland. Kevin Willard's last game turned out his last game as a Maryland head coach. So what we're going to do is show you why Maryland should have seen this coming. He is now the Villanova head coach. So this sound is from earlier, I think last week or so, when he was asked about the potential of him moving on from Maryland. And then we're going to play some sound from a couple years ago when he was leaving his job, that job, to go take the Maryland job. So here's Kevin Willard last week about his job status.
So I have not even, no, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done. So I haven't talked to anybody. I have an agent. I'm sure he's talking to people because that's what agents like to do. But, you know, I don't know.
He doesn't know. He has no idea what's going on. His agent talks. He's not directing his agent to do anything. And days later, he's the Maryland head coach. That was before their Elite Eight game, Sweet 16 game against Florida.
He doesn't even talk to his wife.
Yeah, barely. I'm just focused on this team and trying to get them ready. Let's go back to 2022. After his Seton Hall team was eliminated, let's listen to Kevin Willard talk about his job status.
Zach Braziller, New York Post. Kevin, there's been a lot of rumors in the last day or so of you potentially going to Maryland. Do you want to kind of comment on whether that's accurate or not?
I'll give you exactly what I can tell you. I have an agent who I haven't talked to yet. I haven't talked to. I don't know who he's talking to. I have absolutely no idea. But when I get home tomorrow, I'll talk to my agent and discuss things with my agent.
So Kevin Willard never talks to his agent. And then I guess as soon as he's eliminated, he does, and
until
he's got
the
a job.
Over,
yes, he never talks to him. I credit him for being consistent. I don't know what the guy's doing. I mean, it's very likely I'm going to have another job in 4 days. I just don't know what he's doing about it, though.
By track record.
My track record suggests I will be in a new job wearing a different colored tie in a couple of days.
Holding up the jersey.
Yeah. My Willard Villanova jersey. And, you know, he could break out the Seton Hall tie for the colors are very similar.
Yeah.
Just break out whatever you want for Seton Hall.
Use it. I'm sure they'll love that in the Big East.
I'm sure.
Some fan will zoom in. That's the same
it's
tie.
The same damn tie.
I mean, this is coach 101. It's always tough, especially we see it with these long, tournaments, these long postseason formats. You know, same thing in college football. Like one of these years, the Group of Five champion is going to get plucked away and they're going to be playing in the Fiesta Bowl, denying rumors that they're going to take a obvious jump in their coaching gig, and they're going to have to pretend like they won't until the day after. It's same thing happens in basketball where you make the Sweet 16 and obviously you're happy. You're happy for your current team. But as, you know, the team looking to hire a coach, you're like, man, we gotta wait another 5 days before we can hire Kevin Willard away.
So Kevin Willard's final game for Seton Hall was March 18th, 2022. He was hired. He was hired March 21st, 2022 to be the Maryland head coach. So he didn't know what was going on. but he got well acquainted with what was going on in 3 days and was like, I want the Maryland job, according to him. Yeah. That's what he's telling us.
Yeah.
So it took a little bit more time for him to take the Villanova job. I think he was named the Villanova coach yesterday.
So the 30th.
So what's the date of that sound? Of the first one
that we played?
No, the most recent one. The one where he talks about... Yeah, the first one.
The 27th.
That's the sound for that. And he got hired what day? The 30th?
The 30th.
About 3 days. It takes about three days for Kevin Willard. It takes about 3 days for Kevin Willard to not know anything about his job status and then to take another job.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, you gotta look at the schools in the area. I'm sure he has kids, you know.
Sure.
Gotta worry about the neighborhood. Just so, where am I gonna live in Philly? Is there a place for a millionaire to live in Philadelphia?
I don't know. They got a lot of professional athletes in that town.
I don't know. Who knows?
So I will give him. Well, it's 3 days, but March 21st, 2022 was a Monday.
So that was 3 business days.
Yes. It took until Monday for that job to get that thing to get finalized. This one, do it on the weekend. Let's do it on the weekend. And Villanova has already tweeted out the graphic with him being the next head coach. So you know that's official. I mean, I don't know what's next for him. Villanova's a pretty good job. I guess if he's in an Elite Eight in 3 years and the rumors are swirling.
About Kansas or something?
Yeah. Bill Self wants to retire.
Yeah.
Listen to the presser. If he says he doesn't know what's going on, he's the Kansas coach in 3 days. That's how it's going to be. It's 3 years. I mean, you got to switch it up a little bit because I'm an idiot and I can find how similar they are.
Like I'm barely even interested.
You don't coach a team I care about. And I could look back and find almost the exact same sound coming from you 3 years later. You got to switch it up a little bit. You can't use, my agent just talks to people. I have no idea what's going on all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back to when he left Iona. I'm not doing that.
No, you don't have to.
I'm not going to do that.
You don't have to.
But if you told me that he said the same thing, I'd be like, yeah, not surprised. It's what he does. Villanova, your new head coach, Kevin Willard, completely unaware of everything going on. I would say this. If you're so unaware of what's going on, could you have won the game? Could your team been more focused on the game? No. The whole point is you're so locked in on the game that you're not paying attention to your next job.
That's when
win the game then.
Four best KenPom teams of all time.
That's true.
Or not four, I guess. In the top 10.
For the 10 best teams of all time was Florida.
Listen. They're a good team, man. Well, Maryland was what? Top 50 team all time?
I don't know that.
Probably not.
I don't know
that.
They're
a four seed. Probably not.
Yeah. And you know what he can't use as an excuse? When he lost to TCU in his final year at Seton Hall. You weren't playing one of the top 10 teams of all time.
But Jamie Dixon had him competing.
That's fine.
Desmond Bain wasn't on that team. I don't know who. I can't name a single guy on that TCU team.
No one's gonna fault you for that.
That guy was a bucket.
Whoever it was.
That guy was a bucket.
I think the final score of that game was like 62-49. Kevin Willard should have recruited more buckets himself. Let's see if he gets that done at Maryland. At Villanova, who transitioned from the Jay Wright era to one that wasn't great. And now they've made a new hire to see if they can get back on track. So, Kevin Willard, back to the Big East. All right. We'll get back for one final segment before we go. If you do want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Rockets have the Lakers tonight. They are, at least the Rockets are, they're a couple games up on the Nuggets for that 2 seed. And the Lakers are, they got to play Lakers twice over the next week or so, but the Lakers are 3.5 back of the Rockets. So you win this one, you could pretty much put the Lakers to bed when it comes to chasing you down for that 2 seed. And then it just becomes you against the Nuggets, and you have a good advantage against them as well. as long as you play relatively well down the stretch. So second night of back-to-back, Rockets don't fare too well. They're not the only team who struggles with that. But a second consecutive road game, they weren't tested very much against the Suns, if at all. It was a good night for Jalen Green, but I got to say, maybe a great night for Bradley Beal. Oh, they're what when I'm not around and they're playing together? Because the record at one point, I think, was like 11-3, and people were talking about, man, if only they could get off of Bradley Beal, which is what they tried to do earlier, right before the All-Star, not the All-Star break, before the trade deadline. They could not because no one wanted to take him on, and he had the ability to tell every team no. But he wasn't around. The Suns looked absolutely awful. That's a team who likely is going to be in the lottery, and that pick belongs to the Rockets, right?
Yes. As of right now, they have probably like a 9% chance at being a top four pick.
Which would
go to the
convey
Rockets.
To the Rockets. Is it unprotected, period, or is it like top three protected?
It's unprotected.
Oh, unprotected.
Completely
period.
Unprotected.
So?
No protections.
So maybe the Cougs ruined Cooper Flagg's night on Saturday? And he could potentially be someone the Rockets could draft because of how bad the Suns are?
Yeah,
Because you own their picks?
There's a 1.5% chance that Cooper Flagg is a Rocket. Or that the Rockets are in position, if they deem Cooper Flagg worthy to be the number one pick. Yeah, they right now they're 35-40, the Suns are. Good for the 12th best lottery odds. And they have a 7.1% chance at a top four pick, 1.5 for the number one pick. And they are a game and a half above, I guess. Well, below in the lottery odds. They have a better record by 1.5 games than the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat. So there's a chance. There's a little chance that they can jump up to that 10 spot in the lottery.
Yeah, right now the Suns a game and a half behind the Kings for that final lottery spot. So you want to credit Rafael Stone for plenty of his moves? Credit him for this, for betting against the Suns and controlling their draft and not making a trade without much foresight. And, you know, maybe you got desperate and said, hey, this is the year where we can win. Give them some of their picks back for Kevin Durant or – and likely Kevin Durant, I don't think they would trade Booker in season. And you held on to him, and you never know. Are you going to have a potential top five pick if things fell your way? As Sean laid out the numbers, it's unlikely.
Unlikely.
But having the chance is pretty good.
Yeah. I have a small – just something that hit me yesterday watching this game. And I'm glad I get to bring it up at the end of the show. It's not like a full segment. I'm not fully fleshed out.
Okay.
Are we sure we want these Phoenix guys?
What do you mean? Oh, the Durants or the Bookers?
Durant and Booker. Are we sure we want these guys?
I mean,
are you sure they were like desperate for these guys that are on a team that is 35-40?
The pushback would be certainly to wanting them is they couldn't elevate these guys. Why would I want to involve these two guys in what we have? They can't elevate this team to be a play-in team. Aren't they so supremely talented that those two together could at least get them to 500
the
play-in?
Yeah, I'm not saying they need to be the 5 seed. I'm just like, you can't be better than the Kings or the Mavericks.
A Mavericks team who's had their own traumatic thing with the trade, and Tyrese hurt, and AD's back, but he was hurt right after the trade.
Just something I'm working on.
It's not a bad thought.
That team just quit last night, man. Like they full on threw in the towel with like 10 minutes left in the second quarter.
I guess you have to ask yourself, and you know, Kevin Durant has spoken very glowingly of Ime Udoka. If you made the trade, you're just inserting Kevin Durant into what you have, as opposed to asking him to be the centerpiece of something. Which
you're telling him to fit in, not fit out.
Yeah, and allow him to be great, but in a lesser way than what he did with the Warriors, where there's not an elite Hall of Fame talent around him like it was with Golden State. But you just come in here, be you, which is what he likes to do. I don't think he, from what we can tell, doesn't look like Kevin Durant looks to be someone who's going to galvanize the troops and be a leader. He just wants to out there to hoop. He wants to go out there and hoop. And you know what he could do here? Go out there and hoop. I'm saying I'm a proponent of that trade, but I think that would be the difference, that this is a right now a set culture, word everyone likes to use, but Kevin Durant would just have to fit in. He wouldn't have to be someone is built on.
And I'm just thinking of the culture. Like, the culture has to be a lot of Ime Udoka driven, because the idea that the culture is what Dillon Brooks, Fred VanVleet, and a bunch of 23-year-olds have set, and then Kevin Durant's just like, yep, hey, listen, I'm just one of the foot soldiers. I don't want to rock the boat. You guys have a beautiful thing. I'm just going to sit here and make my jump shots. It's like, I have a hard time believing that. I think it kind of becomes, naturally, he's one of the best players of all time. It kind of becomes a situation where he sets the culture, and we've seen how that's worked out the last two spots he's been at. It's just, again, just something. And same thing goes for Devin Booker, too, where it's like, hey, you're supposed to be top 15 guy, and your team sucks. I don't know. Are we sure?
I think
it's a little bit of like Jalen Green was also actively going for 32 points in three quarters.
He has dominated the last two matchups against Devin Booker.
Yeah, there's just a little bit of like, I don't know. Are we sure that we're desperate for it? I think they
operate from a position where they're not desperate for it.
Yeah, I think the Rockets have been so good that like they don't actually need to make a star trade.
No.
Unless they score like 89 points in every playoff game.
Well, this is why we keep talking about it. I feel like I'm harping on it, but this is what these playoffs will be about. Who are you? Who is what? Who can deal with specific game planning against them, and how do they perform? Beating up on Phoenix in Phoenix, that's a dead in the water basketball team. You should do that, and I'm glad you did it. But who these Rockets are and what they'll be and who's right for the future, that'll start in less than a month. We'll find out about them in the playoffs. And maybe we won't be so all out on a Booker Durant trade. It could always be someone else, too. All right, we're done for the day. Gallant and George. Just Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant featuring Sean Mapes is next. And then the Killer Bees. Follow them. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.